In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christu numeriuku. This is one of my favorite readings. I once was coming up with a list of things that I would want people to preach about at my funeral. I don't want anybody to say my name in the funeral except in the prayers. I don't want a eulogy. But I want people to preach from the scriptures that I have held dearest. Everybody knows one of them is going to be John chapter 17, verse 3. You should all know that one. Do you know that one? This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've preached about that 100 times. But I've also preached about this one a lot in Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. It's a very important encounter. It has a lot of deep theology in it, but it also has some deep practical applications that apply every moment to the way you live. It's a perfect example of how Jesus takes a question that a person asks and he answers the real question. Not the question asked, but what really matters. Because Nicodemus comes to him and says, "You're surely come from God. Because no man can do these miracles you're doing unless he's from God." This was very early in his ministry, and he was curing people left and right, by the hundreds, perhaps by the thousands. And so people were thinking, this man must be from God. And that, so Nicodemus was thinking the same way, even though he was a ruler, that is not like a prince, but he was a teacher of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, a good Pharisee, as we find out much later when he participates in the taking down of the cross of Jesus. But he was thinking simply, just like the people, you must be from God because of this stuff. But Jesus then answers the question that he should have been asking. If you are from God, what should we do? What is going to be different than the way we live our life? And he says, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is a revolutionary statement to a Jew. He wouldn't understand it at all. And to this day, people don't understand it. Because to this day, even people that believe in Christ believe that their salvation lies in something usually legal. There's nothing legal about our salvation. It's a transformation from death to life. It's a complete change. There's nothing ordinary about it. There's nothing in the same as previous business. The way you used to live has to be different than the way that you should live in order to inherit the kingdom of God. So you have to be born again. You have to be changed. And Jesus says this, and Nicodemus has no idea what he means. And he thinks in a carnal way. He thinks, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter in a woman's womb again, can he? He wasn't speaking of physical birth. Of course, we know this. He was speaking of spiritual birth through baptism. Being born of the water and the Spirit, as he says. And this birth is a complete change. St. Paul says that it's becoming a new creature. It's a death to the old man that causes our passions, and a rebirth to be a new creature. It's a complete change. And if you are baptized, then you must learn to do what Jesus is speaking of. He doesn't say it explicitly, but the inference is there. The command is there for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Later on, he says, if I've told you carnal things and you don't understand, how can you understand when I tell you spiritual things? What is he saying here? Baptism is a complete change. Being born again, being changed, being renewed, becoming a new creature. So you don't think like an old creature then. The old creature thinks about, well, if somebody hurts me, I hurt them. The old creature thinks that I'm important. The old creature thinks I don't like to be slandered. The old creature thinks I don't like to be inconvenienced. The old creature thinks in carnal ways, not spiritual ways. And so he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. You can tie in easily, really, the understanding of the remembrance of death in Orthodoxy. And even on Pascha, we remember death. Every day we remember death. Death of the old man and the renewal of the new. And that which is born of flesh is only flesh. Flesh dies. That is the remembrance of death. Knowing that things that are flesh are not conducive to eternal life. Things which are spirit, they are spiritual, they are according to eternal life. That's how you should order your life about everything. Everything you do. All of your thoughts, all of your actions, all of your priorities, all of your attitudes. All of those have to be spiritual, not flesh. And you don't give yourself any quarter, or you should not. You're lazy. You don't feel like praying, you get up and pray anyway. You don't feel like forgiving, you forgive anyway. You're angry, you clamp down your teeth and don't let those words get out. You do something spiritual. And then you become a spiritual being. Holy spiritual. Not that you're without flesh, but your flesh becomes deified. And your flesh becomes capable of knowing God. That is what baptism is. And it is completely appropriate for us to speak about this during the Paschal season. Because as I've told you many times before, the Gospels of Pascha season, really all of St. John, which we read during Pascha season, most of it, and also the Sunday Gospels, are about enlightenment. Look at them carefully. They're all about enlightenment. The next one, Thomas, about how a person becomes enlightened. Thomas did not know. He didn't believe, but he became a believer because he stuck around. The myrrh-bearing women, they went to give myrrh and aloes to a dead man, but he wasn't dead. The paralytic, the blind man, so many other examples. They are about enlightenment. And this certainly is about enlightenment. We can't go to Jesus and say, well, we know you're from God, but not change the way we think. Radically, extravagantly change the way we think. And not just what you think with your thoughts, but your priorities, your attitudes. Because those actually affect us much more, really, than our thoughts. They're kind of like a thought, but they're not something we consciously are aware of all the time. But they lead us around as if we have a ring in our nose and somebody is leading us with a rope. So you must learn to have your thoughts be spiritual. And that's what this gospel is really teaching. Of course, it's teaching theological points too. I mean, he speaks about that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And of course, that is speaking of the cross. He speaks about no one hath ascended into heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. That reference to the Son of Man, which occurs first in Daniel, is a messianic term. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He calls himself the Son of Man many times. He is the Son of God and always was and always will be. But he became the Son of Man, that is, he was born of Mary. Became a human being. And he, as a human being, will be able to get into heaven, to ascend into heaven. He's prophesying this. And therefore, we who share his flesh have the same stuff as him, as far as humanity goes, will also be able to ascend into heaven because the Son of Man will make it possible. So those are important theological points. But the most important point is you must change the way you think, the way you act, your priorities, your attitudes. You change those things and make them spiritual. It's a battle to do it every single day. That's what this gospel is especially teaching. And that's why I love this gospel so much and why it's on my list of things to preach about at my funeral. The poor fellow who has to do it is going to probably have about, I don't know, 6 or 8 scriptures that he's going to have to try to mold together. John 17:3, about the Gergesenes, about the Samaritan woman, this one about Nicodemus and Jesus. It's not going to be easy to put all those together in a cohesive whole. But this one needs to be there because you must change the way you think and act, what you do, what you say, what your attitudes are, and become spiritual. And thank God we can become spiritual. We're celebrating being able to become spiritual because of the resurrection. Slava Bogu.